Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
We are supposed to be able to see things with our heart that you can't see with your eyes. You're supposed to be able to grasp and say, "It's mine. I've got it."
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm nearing the end of my third week of teaching on the power of imagination. I've got a brand new book out on this. This is the first time I've ever taught this on television. I've referred to some of these truths before, but the first time I've ever just taught on the power of imagination, the first time I've ever offered this book, and we also have CDs and DVDs that go along with it, and I encourage you to please take advantage of that. I've covered too much material to go back through everything, but let me just quickly say that your imagination is your spiritual womb. It's where you conceive your miracles from God. Your imagination is how you meditate in the Word of God. Your imagination is how you see into the spiritual realm and see God moving when you can't see Him in the natural, but you see it in the spiritual, and you take that from the Word of God, it paints a picture on the inside of you. Those are the things that we've already talked about. And then the last couple of days, I was sharing how that your imagination is what, let me say it this way, your positive imagination is what the Bible calls hope. I made this point the last couple of days, but I've, you know, talked so much about how powerful imagination is, and yet the word imagination is used nearly exclusively in the Bible to describe a negative imagination, such as when it says, the Lord says that the imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. Luke chapter 1, verse 51, that He's going to scatter them in their imaginations. And imagination is nearly used exclusively in a negative way. If it's so powerful, like in Genesis chapter 11, where it says that now nothing that they have imagined will be restrained from them. If the imagination is so powerful, why doesn't it talk about it? And then I ran across Romans chapter 8, verse 24, where it says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, hope is seeing something that you can't see. That's a definition of what your imagination is. Your imagination is the ability to picture, to see something that you can't see with your physical eyes or that you can't touch, something that isn't present or something that hasn't come into being yet. That's your imagination. And so your imagination fits the description of what Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 says. So a positive imagination is what the Bible calls hope. And on my program yesterday, I was using this example of a man, you know, turning a thermostat, and all of a sudden the air conditioning comes on and it begins to start cooling. And the person thought that the thermostat was what made the cold air blow. No, the thermostat controls the power unit. Faith is the power. It's the victory that overcomes the world. I think that's 1 John 5:4. Faith is what is the power source, but hope is what activates your faith. So here's a statement. Think about this. You do not have a faith problem. You've got a thermostat problem, or you could say you've got an imagination problem. Once you conceive something in your imagination, once you see it on the inside, faith will bring it to pass. Faith will kick in. And I use this example of my wife and I going and just, you know, beginning the process of looking for a car we didn't want to buy. We didn't have the money at that moment, but we just, you know, were starting the process, but a salesman made me sit in the car, feel the car, smell the car, drive the car around, compare the way it rode to the way that my junker that I was driving drove. And you know what it did? It placed an image on the inside. I could see myself in that new car, and all of a sudden, faith started working, trying to bring that to pass. You don't have a faith problem. You've got an imagination problem. Boy, that is a huge statement. That is a huge statement. You know, I'm not going to take time to teach on this, but let me just say some things real quickly. I've got a teaching entitled The Faith of God that will go into this and explain it in a lot more detail. But when you got born again, you received the faith of the Son of God on the inside of you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's a couple of ways you can take that. You can say that that salvation is not of yourself. It is God that saves you. You can't save yourself. But you could also say that that faith, you're saved by grace through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Did you know you had to have supernatural faith in order to be born again? Because you were believing for things that you couldn't see. Natural human faith can only do what it can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. I've had people before use a chair as an example of faith. And they say, you're sitting in a chair, and so that is your faith. You've put faith in that chair. But that's a human faith. In other words, I've sat in chairs before, and I know that people build chairs to be able to support my weight. And when before I sit in the chair, I look at it. And if the chair only had three legs instead of four legs, and if the thing was wobbling and sitting, you know, askew, well, I wouldn't sit in that chair with that human faith. But when you believe God for salvation, it's like sitting in a chair that you can't see. You can't see God. You're saying that you believe in God. You're saying that you believe that your sins will be forgiven. You've never seen a sin. You've seen people commit sins, but you know, what does a sin look like? You can see when people act out sin, but you can't see like a spot on you or something like that. And then you can't see when it's forgiven, when it's taken away. So you're believing in a God that you can't see. You're believing in sins being forgiven, which you can't see that they are forgiven. You're believing that you're going to heaven, which you've never been there, and you can't see that, and yet you're believing for things that you can't see. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, God calls those things that be not as though they were. In other words, God isn't limited to just believing things that he can see. He called Abraham a father of many nations when Abraham didn't even have a child yet. That's the instance that's being quoted in Romans chapter 4. So God's kind of faith is necessary to be born again because you're believing for things that you can't see. And you can't do that with just human faith. People say, well, it's faith to get on an airplane, that you don't know how an airplane flies. You don't understand it all. You don't know the pilot, and yet you get in that airplane and you fly. That's faith. Well, that's human faith because you've seen planes fly. You know that the government regulates things. You don't have people flying the plane that don't know how to fly. You've got all of these safety features. You've got all kinds of physical things that you can base your faith upon. But when you're believing God for salvation, you're believing for things that there is no physical proof of. So my point in saying all of this is when you got born again, you received supernatural faith, God's faith. God gave you His faith. And people say, well, when did that happen? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you heard the truths of the gospel, when somebody told you that Jesus died for your sins and had forgiven your sins. Those words contained His supernatural faith. Faith came to you, and so you actually had to take His faith, His supernatural faith, to believe for His salvation. We were so destitute that we couldn't even get saved with just human faith. We had to have God impart a supernatural faith to us. So when you got born again, every person who got born again with God's supernatural faith. Let me read this verse to you out of Romans chapter 12 and in verse 3. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It didn't say He's dealt to every man a measure of faith. He's given some people a lot of faith, some people a little faith. No, God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I'm reading out of the King James, and I'm aware that there are some translations that say we have a measure of faith, but I believe that that is missing the point of this. If you were to turn over to Galatians chapter 2, Paul talks about in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He didn't say I'm living by putting my human faith in the Son of God. No, it was the faith of the Son of God. The same thing I was just talking about in Ephesians 2:8, where when you got born again, you were saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God imparted supernatural faith to you. So my point is that once you got born again, you've got faith. You've got God's supernatural faith. You really don't have a faith problem. But according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith only works when hope has already conceived it. And I've established on the last few days that hope is just a positive imagination. We talked about Abraham as an example, that he never saw his son dead. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it's verse 19, that he accounted that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Abraham never saw Isaac dead. He knew that Isaac was the promised seed. God had said that he would have children and that his children would be so numerous it'd be like the stars in the sky, the grains of sand on the seashore, so would his seed be. And since Isaac wasn't married, since Isaac hadn't had any children, that mean that Isaac had to live. Abraham never saw in his imagination Isaac dead. He saw Isaac living. If he had to, God was going to raise him from the dead. And that's what motivated his faith. There's a lot of people that they just allow. They are plugged into the world. They listen to the doubt and the unbelief of people. And they just get all of this negative imagination. They see themselves dying. They see themselves poor. They see their marriage falling apart. And once they conceive this image, then they try and believe God and say, it's so hard to believe God. The only reason it's hard to believe God is because your imagination has already conceived defeat. You see yourself a failure. You see yourself dying. You see yourself poor. You see yourself single. Your marriage won't last. If that's the image that you have on the inside, well, then faith doesn't have anything to work on. All it can do is bring forth that negative image. See, you need to begin to take the Word of God and meditate in the Word of God, which again, Psalms 1:2 compared with Psalms 2:1 shows that to meditate means to imagine. You need to take the Word of God and those promises and let it paint a picture on the inside of you succeeding in whatever endeavor God has called you to do. And once you conceive it, once you get hope, then I guarantee you, your faith will start to work to bring that to pass. That's exactly the way it works. You know, I was studying all of these things last night in preparation for making these programs today, and I woke up at 1:15. Man, I was seeing things. I'm not going to go into the detail because it's not complete yet. You know, when you see things, it first of all starts and it's a little fuzzy, and the more you focus on it, the clearer and the clearer it gets. It's not complete yet, but my point is that I started seeing what God was telling me. I started seeing things, and I guarantee you, you talk about faith. Today, my faith is at a high level for seeing these things that God had shown me in my heart come to pass. I was up from 1 o'clock, 1:15 in the morning, until I hadn't gone to sleep all this time, because, man, faith is just flowing on the inside of me. Again, I wished I had better words to describe what I'm saying. But hope is a positive imagination. And once you begin to start seeing something in your heart, once you seek God, take the Word of God, you receive a promise, let it paint a picture on the inside. And once you see it, if your imagination ever conceives it, then I guarantee you, it is just a matter of time until your faith kicks in, and faith will begin to start providing substance of things that were hoped for. It will bring into evidence, into physical reality, things that are not seen. You can't see them now, but you will see them because faith will make it reality. Let me use this verse, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, this isn't talking about your physical vision, your physical eyes. This isn't saying that if you're blind, that you're going to perish. This is talking about spiritual eyesight, which is exactly the thing that I've been talking about for nearly 3 weeks, talking about imagination. Your ability to see with your heart. If you can't see something with your heart, if there isn't spiritual vision, then you're going to perish. But when you get that spiritual vision, when you take the Word of God and you see the Word of God working in your life, I guarantee you it will make faith produce evidence for something that is hoped for. That hope will activate your faith and make it kick in and start working for you instead of against you. I tell you, this is just so powerful. This is the way that my life is working. You know, when the Lord first touched my life, 1968, now I was born again in 58 at the age of 8 years old. But when in 68, when I was 18 years old, I had an encounter where God just revealed His love to me. And I knew in my heart that God had called me into the ministry, and I started seeking Him about, God, what kind of ministry? At first, I didn't know if it was going to be a pastor. I didn't know if I was going to be a teacher. I didn't know if I was going to be an evangelist. I didn't know if I was going to be a missionary. I didn't have any clue. I just knew that God had called me into some type of ministry. And as I sought Him and studied the Word, man, I've got an entire teaching on this, on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. But as the more I sought God, God began to just narrow the vision and start showing me exactly what He wanted me to do. And so here I am 51 years later, and now all of the things that we're seeing in our ministry, did you know I saw these things decades ago? I saw these things happening decades ago. Man, I don't have the words to explain this any better than what I'm doing. But there are some of you that are praying for God to open up doors, God to move mountains, God to provide needs, and yet you've never seen it. You don't have a hope. And I'm telling you, until you get hope, faith just sits there idle. You've got faith. You've got the same faith that Jesus used. You've got the faith of God on the inside of you. But that faith has to be activated by hope, which is a positive imagination. You've got to start conceiving things in your imagination. You got to see it on the inside before you see it on the outside. And this is where so many of you are missing it. I'm not saying that in a condemning way. I'm just saying that I know what it's done in my life. I've seen other people, once they begin to start getting a vision on the inside, they see what God wants them to do. I've seen this happen in thousands and thousands of people. And I'm telling you, it'll work for you. But you've got to take this Word and let it paint a picture on the inside of you of who you are, what your potential is, what God wants you to do. And you've got to conceive it, first of all, in your imagination. and then it will become physical reality. Man, that's powerful. This is powerful. And this is what we're talking about. So if there isn't a vision on the inside of you, the people perish. And I'm just telling you that there are some of you that are perishing and you can't figure out why, because you've been asking God for deliverance. You've been praying. You desire it. You're desperate. There is no doubt that you need it. That's not the question. And you just can't understand why. It's because there isn't any vision. You haven't in your heart, you haven't seen what God has promised coming to pass. And so what you need to do is you need to stick your nose in the book. Get out of Facebook and put your face in the book. And you need to start meditating on this and studying the Word until the Word speaks to you and God shows you things. And then you start meditating on it, using your imagination until you see it coming to pass. And once you do all of that, I guarantee you, once you see it on the inside, your faith will immediately start working to bring into evidence those things that are hoped for. This is the very thing that is missing. We've put down hope. We've told people before, you know, and they say, are you healed? And they say, well, I hope so. And we criticize hope. I do admit that hope is not the end result. We are ultimately wanting to see the physical manifestation of, say, healing or prosperity or whatever. And so hope isn't the victory that overcomes the world, but hope is what activates faith, which is the victory that overcomes the world. And so some of you aren't to a place to where you can believe for healing, believe for prosperity, believe for your marriage to be healed, but you can begin the process of hoping for it. You can start meditating on it and saying, God, show me what this marriage is supposed to be like. God, show me how you want me to live, how you want me to live in prosperity. Show me the ministry you have. Show me my healing. And you can start praying and asking God for that vision. And as God shows you these things, and as that vision begins to become alive on the inside in your imagination, once you get it in the imagination, your faith will bring it into physical manifestation. It will produce evidence of those things that are not seen. Man, that's powerful. I've said a mouthful. I've got this brand new book entitled The Power of Imagination. This is the first time I've taught this on television. I've referred to different things about imagination, but this is the first time I've just tried to, you know, systematically teach through this. And this is the first time that we've offered this book. And I tell you, this is powerful. It could change your life. We also have DVDs that were taken from my television program. So if you want the exact teaching that you're watching on television, you can get a DVD that was taken from television, or you can get a DVD set that was taken from one of my meetings, or you can get a CD set that was taken from one of my meetings. And I tell you, these will be a blessing to you. If you'll listen to our announcer, he's going to give you the information about all of this product. I encourage you to please get it. It would change your life. So listen to our announcer, and then please call or write today.
Learn how to put your imagination to work for you when you get Andrew's brand new book titled, The Power of Imagination. This book is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This new series on the power of imagination is also available as a CD or DVD album recorded live from a Gospel Truth seminar or in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. These valuable resources are also available in the Power of Imagination package. This package includes Andrew's brand new book, as well as your choice of the CD or the As Seen on TV DVD album. The Power of Imagination package has a catalog value of $50, but you can get it today for a gift of only $35. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The individual topic highlighted on today's broadcast is available as an audio CD for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give because there's a blessing in giving. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide today's teaching free of charge. You can order resources or become a Grace Partner through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111.
I want this ministry to prosper, and I want it to go as far as possible.
I'm receiving so much from the ministry. I have to be a blessing to this ministry.
You get to a point where it's like, what can I do for this ministry now? As opposed to not, what can it do for me?
What Andrew's doing, I'm doing it with him when I partner with him.
Jamie and I are here just to thank you so much for being partners with us. I tell you, we are reaching around the world. I remember when Jamie and I were it. I would run the sound while she was doing the praise and worship, and then she'd come back and run the sound while I was preaching. We did it all ourselves. Now we have so many people helping us, and it couldn't happen without you.
It's very true. We're very thankful for our partners and what they're doing, and you're going around the world too, and everything that this Amen. Ministry does.
Amen. So we just wanted to say a special thank you. And we love you. And every good thing that is happening through this ministry, you're going to share in every one of those rewards. So God bless you. Thank you for being a partner with us.
If you're not already a partner, you can become a Grace Partner today by calling our helpline or going to awmi.net. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. In October, Andrew will be in West Bromwich, England. Then he'll be in Walsall, England for the European Ministers Conference with guest speakers Paul Milligan, Billy Epperhart, and Pastor Bob Yandian. Lastly, in October, Paul Milligan and Billy Epperhart will be speaking in Walsall, England at the International Business Summit. Please note, Andrew will not be speaking at this event. And in November, at Charis Bible College in Woodland Park, Colorado, we'll be hosting the Women Arise Conference with speakers Carly Tirades, Dorothy Brown, and pastors Sue Sheriff and Sheris Johnson. We'll also be hosting the musical Esther, the Queen of Persia. But please note, Andrew will not be speaking at these events. In mid-November, Andrew will be in India via livecast. Please note, this special livecast event is only accessible at the R&R Auditorium in Hyderabad, Telangana. Then, Andrew will be in Woodland Park, Colorado to host Handel's Messiah, performed by the Colorado Springs Chorale. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.